been such a delight to have been under the ministry of our brother Keith Daniels this week. Some of you may be here for the first time tonight. Our brother has come to us from South Africa, where he is involved with his wife and three children in the work of evangelism, ministering the Word of God in different conferences and situations throughout South Africa and many other nations of the earth. And we have been enriched by the richness of the Word through him. So, Brother Keith, we welcome you again tonight for the breaking of the bread and the feeding of the sheep and all of the other things you want to do tonight under God's leadership. Thank you.
Thank you. Could I just take one moment of thanking? I think I'll keep all my thank yous for Sunday night, otherwise there might not be enough time to preach. But I'm going to thank tonight just again the lovely children's choir and give a singing for Jesus Christ tonight, dear children. And thank you to this lovely choir that God has so privileged you in this church to have, and the godly choir master and the orchestra. I do praise God for that. And thank you also for the dear minister of this church and his co-minister. Well, I'm going to have to go on and on saying thank you. But thank you for your godly lives and the love of Christ in you to me while I'm in your country. But I'd just like to especially thank tonight Harold Vaughan, who is a member of your congregation and who, of course, heads the Christ Life Ministries. He will not be with us again after tonight, and I'm sure he wouldn't like me to say anything to him. I'm sure he's grieved right now, but forgive me. He won't be seeing me again after tonight, and this is the last time I'll be preaching while he's in the meeting before he leaves for God's work. Commitment he has. Thank you, sir. I hope my eyes are focused because I saw you just now. Thank you for your life. And thank you for bringing me to your country. I've been invited to America many times and many other countries that I've never gone to. And my wife and I seek God with invitations to accept. And somehow I've never felt that it was God that was in the invitations before, although I'd love to have done it. We just don't know what to turn away. But this time, without me knowing Mr. Vaughan, but other people speaking to me of him, we knew that it was God's will to come. Now, when I stood in your meeting, sir, up on the hill, in the men's advance, I would say from my heart that I sense God is with you in a remarkable way. And I sense something is coming. If you would, by God's grace, stay low in the dust, it's not easy to stay there. It's the only place you're safe if God's ever going to use you. I've learned that. If you're willing to stay there, sir, and you're willing to stay in the walk you have now, and the vision and the hope and the faith you have in God for revival. And I saw how many men from across this country, and I would say the cream of God's people, the undoubt from across this country, have somehow linked to you. And when I sensed the atmosphere in those meetings, I knew something to share from God for America. Oh, may God please somehow keep you in that place where he can continue to raise up something that I am filled with and privileged to have been part of. Oh, I'm so privileged to have been part of it. Thank you for bringing me to this country, for inviting me. I may never come back to America. I hope I do, because I've fallen in love with your land. But if ever it was just this one occasion, thank God it was for you to stand alongside of you, sir, and to work with you. And I have no doubt that God had in mind this church also. This is no mistake. Perhaps I could have gone to very much larger churches, but I have no doubt this is the church God knew I would like to have been in. When I look at this godly man, thank God for the privilege to be alongside of him for these few meetings. I needed to say thank you to Mr. Vaughan. Father, please, in mercy now, come wash me in the blood of Christ. I have nothing, Lord. And the longer I serve you, the more I realize I have nothing to hope in but the blood. It becomes more and more to me, God. And I stand in my pulpit tonight and I look to the blood that I may have the right to preach. I have nothing outside of the blood to look to. Make me clean. And fill me with the Holy Spirit. And stand beside me, Lord Jesus. Please. I would not stand alone in the pulpit. For I have nothing that is of value to anyone if Jesus Christ does not stand beside me and minister through me. Come, Lord, in mercy to us all. And speak to the depth of every heart in a way they will never forget. Not as long as they live. And so I look away from myself, for I know I could never achieve that. And we all look away from ourselves, for we know that could never be achieved in our attempt for that to accomplish in our lives. But we look to a God, our expectation is in Thee and Thee only. And we trust Thee, our God. Come visit us. Make Thy word so living that we never forget. In Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The most staggering sermon that has ever been preached in the history of the Church of Jesus Christ is known to the world as the Sermon on the Mount. It was preached by our Lord Jesus, and it is found in Matthew 5:16-17. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. The merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. yesterday, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which are before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but in a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all within the house. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, shall all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that is thy vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge delivered it to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye do cause thee to offend, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand do cause thee to offend, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Again, you've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, yes or no, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, go with him 2 miles. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not ye the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not ye the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And take heed that ye do not your alms, your righteousness, your piety, your religion. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be of glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard to the much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have needed before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. When moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body should be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve God and be materialistic. Ye cannot. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, the speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite! Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. not of the scribes. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, we read this staggering verse. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. But, what if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then thought good for nothing. It is then thought good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. One of the greatest theologians that ever lived in the history of the church interpreted this verse to these words: you are the world seasoning, Church of Jesus Christ. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the world seasoning, Church of Jesus Christ, to make it tolerable to live in. To make it tolerable to live in. But if you lose your effectiveness, your reality, your impact, what will happen to the world? If you lose your effectiveness, your reality, your impact, what will happen to the world? And you yourselves will eventually be thrown out by them, your religion considered worthless. If you lose your effectiveness, Church of Christ, this is what one of the greatest theologians that ever lived in the history of the church interprets Christ's words to mean. If you lose your effectiveness, you will eventually be thrown out by them, your religion considered worthless. I believe the Church of Christ has come to a crisis at this moment of the history of the world. A terrible crisis. I believe we have lost our effectiveness. We have lost our impact. We have lost our vital reality. We're there. But when we look at the world and what is happening to the world, the words of Christ are to come to us, not to the government of the United States of America. In the laws they pass, not to the President of the United States of America. God doesn't cry to him, God cries to you. To you, when the world comes to a place where Christ says to the church, if you have lost your effectiveness, what will happen to the world? I believe we have come to a crisis. And I believe with all my heart that it is time for us to look back to the Scriptures desperately. And I find here in the Sermon on the Mount Christ's cry to the church of how they should find effectiveness, of the stepping stones to be the salt of the earth in truth, in vital reality, in effectiveness, in daily living. I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ cries out to you and I how to be that salt of the earth. Did we ever lose it? And here we start at what is known as the Beatitudes, and I see here stepping stones given to you and I as the salt of the earth to take when we realize we need desperately to find vital reality in Christ again and become the salt of the earth before we look at this world and see nothing but moral decadence and destruction and hopelessness of decency. I believe the stepping stones of God are laid down here to the church of how to come into vital reality with God and have impact on the world that would stop sin, would stop decadence.
in a church. Listen to these stepping stones that God has given us. Blessed, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Can that be so? What is God saying here? Blessed are they that mourn. Is he speaking about when death comes? No. Blessed are the meek. Do you know what that word means literally? Broken. Broken. How can it be blessed to mourn? How can it be blessed to be poor in spirit? How can it be blessed to be broken? This is why, to this man will I look, God says. To this man will I look. Even to him that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, when you and I come to a place that we begin to mourn over our condition, when we see the world going and turning its back on God and going to hell, and we're not reaching them, we're doing nothing to stop the nation turning its back on God, and we begin to mourn because we know it's us. When we begin to mourn, God looks at us again, and revival can come. But not before, Church of Jesus Christ. Not before. No hope of revival till we mourn, till we're poor in spirit and broken. And God looks to this man. Will I look? Now God knows he can do something with you. Even to him that is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But then be careful now, Church of Christ. The next step is there. That was just the first. The next step that Christ lays before you and I. The next step we must look at and take. It's no good being poor in spirit. It's no good mourning over our condition. Broken over our condition. That's not blessed if we just stay in that condition. Mourning at what we are. No! If this is the step you've taken, now God is looking. Now take the next step. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. After righteousness. To hunger. Come. Hunger, child. Get desperate with me. Thirst. After righteousness again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know what that word means, filled? The closest you will come to that word meaning is satisfied. Why does God say that? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If you're in the desert, if you're in the desert and you're hungering and you're thirsting, and a man walks up to you and puts $1 million there in front of you and says it's yours. And he walks and leaves you and disappears. You won't be satisfied. That won't satisfy you. That'll be meaningless to you. You'll only be satisfied when you receive that which you're hungering for, which you're thirsting for. God says if you're hungering and you're thirsting after righteousness, nothing will satisfy you. I know that. You will be made righteous. It's the only thing that will satisfy you in the spiritual life. When you begin to get real with God, when you begin to get serious and desperate with God, nothing will satisfy you. But I will get you righteous. You will be made righteous in your mourning. If you begin to seek me to make you righteous again, I will. And you will be satisfied with the one thing you are hungering for and thirsting for. I will give you. I will give you. I will work it in your heart. There is two righteousnesses spoken to you and I in the Bible. Righteousness imputed and righteousness imparted. Now righteousness imputed by God is nothing on your side. It's God declaring you righteous because of your faith in the blood. It's what Christ did that enables God to declare you righteous. That's its salvation. That's when you come to God and look to the blood, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, as we heard last night. Righteousness imputed to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. In one moment, God declares you righteous. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. In one moment, God, through your faith, declares and you are imputed. Righteousness is imputed to your life. That is God's righteousness imputed. But that is not what Christ is speaking of here. Christ is speaking of righteousness, God's righteousness imparted in and through your life. Righteousness imparted. God making you righteous, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not one verse in the entire scriptures, not one verse in the entire of the Sermon on the Mount speaks here to you and I of righteousness imputed, but only of righteousness that works. God's righteousness, the standard of the world, working in your life. He makes you righteous. Righteous. It has to be. Look at every verse. Otherwise the whole sermon doesn't make sense. Every verse related. Oh, by the blood, yes, to purify the heart. And the Holy Ghost, taking you at absolute surrender to God, you are made pure in heart. God makes you righteous. Oh, blessed is the pure in heart. You'll see God, child. You'll see God now. You'll see God now. This is not speaking about later. Oh, when God's righteousness is imparted to your life, look at what happens. Look at what happens. You find suddenly the ability with a pure heart, a heart made pure by blood, purified. When you are pure in heart, you're righteous, you receive God's righteousness, you suddenly, find the ability to forgive so that God can forgive you. You suddenly find the ability to be peacemakers here in the church, to your enemies, to those you differ with. Suddenly, righteousness, God's righteousness imparted as a result of the fullness of the Holy Ghost when you are at absolute surrender to God. When God takes a hold of you and imparts his righteousness, you find the ability to become peacemakers, to forgive, not only after. And oh, how blessed it is these steps. But even further, look what happens now. You will find you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You will never be persecuted for righteousness imputed. No man will find any reason, but righteousness imparted. Oh, you will have persecution from your home, sir. When you walk back into this world with God's righteousness working out in your life, do you know why? Oh, you become the salt of the earth. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, God says. Do you know that? That's the cost at the beginning of when revival sweeps the church. I guarantee you, but blessed are you, that they persecuted the prophets which were before you for the same reason. Oh, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice! But if not, if it's the truth what they say about you, then it's nothing to be blessed about. But if it's false accusations, why? Because they are persecuting you. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because you are the salt of the earth suddenly is functioning. The salt of the earth is suddenly functioning. You're the salt of the earth. Sin can't go forward when you're company. Sin attacks. When you walk into your home, you suddenly find because righteousness is imparted in your life, your family suddenly has a pricked conscience with you walking back. Suddenly, they know Daddy's agonizing while we're watching the pillows, and they can't enjoy their sin. And so a man's own house turns to become his enemy, turns against him, Christ says. It won't ever do that unless it's your life, making them uncomfortable in sin, making them unable to enjoy sin, because you're there wherever you step back at work. Men can't enjoy it. You suddenly will find persecution, sir. Persecution because you're the salt of the earth. Sin cannot advance. Sin cannot be enjoyed in your company. Men's hearts condemn them in your company, sir, because you're the salt of the earth. But God has that, and believe me, from your children to your wife to your enemy at work, who's constantly... you find suddenly that you fulfill the law. You don't stoop to those Christians in our day and age who are glib to say this to justify their being carnal, backslidden, ineffective Christians. You don't stoop to say, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. You couldn't stoop to that. You wouldn't. Those people who say, I'm not under the law, I'm under grace, they all land up in disgrace. Amen. Without exception. Without exception. Just give them time. No one who clings to that with glibness will not find His grace coming upon their lives. No, you wouldn't stoop to that once you have a heart made pure by God's blood. Once you've been made pure in heart and you have God's righteousness imparted, you find you fulfill the law. The law of God is fulfilled. You know, Christ, that I haven't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it in your life. In your life. Not by some rigid discipline and lawishness where you apply yourself to all forms of laws. No, that's not what Christ fulfills the law. Suddenly you find, as a result of your absolute surrender to God and God taking complete control of you, you find that you just fulfill the law spontaneously. No written laws that you're rigidly trying to apply yourself in lawishness. No. In every circumstance, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what persecution is coming upon you, no matter how unjust man is to you, no matter what filth is surrounding you, you find spontaneously you just fulfill the law of God, for God is fulfilling it in your life. Spontaneously. That's the result of God's righteousness imparted to God's people. Oh, you find you fulfill the law. Listen, in case you don't believe what Christ is saying, in case you think we're getting you back into bonds of the law, He says you've heard what was said by them of old time. You heard what the law said. Thou shalt not kill. And whoso shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whoso is angry, you wouldn't kill. But now, but you find the law is 100 times higher than the Old Testament. It doesn't detract and take you away from the life of law. You are fulfilling a higher standard by at least 100 times higher. Spontaneously, not rigidly or trying by learning of laws and trying to apply your life to them. Your life suddenly is lifted to a standard of the full revelation of God to man. You don't even be angry, let alone kill. You find the ability not to be angry. And any anger that comes in your life is not sin. It's righteous indignation that the person you're indignated to knows you're not sinning, knows you're holy. There's no such a thing as a carnal anger in your life ever again, without cause. It's God's anger that makes man tremble into you. You find yourself fulfilling the law. Christ tells you you'll be able to, from that moment, find the grace that if you come to Him from that moment, you'll be able to go straight away and put things right with everybody that's wrong with you. Before you want to take another step, you just do it. You'll find the ability to do it. There's no struggle. You're just reaching out from that moment that God's righteousness is imparted. Do you know, church, what you'll be for Christ once it happens? You find the ability that while you're in the way of anybody who in any way is offended at you, while you're there, you don't find it difficult. While you're there, you grab hold of Him and you put things right that you can never have to give account to God as to why you didn't. To win Him. To win Him. You find the amazing righteousness of God imparted into your life. You find the ability. Dear friend, you find in the Old Testament God saying, thou shalt not commit adultery. But because of God's righteousness imparted, you wouldn't commit adultery. No. But you now, you won't even look at a woman to lust after her. You have that ability not to look at a woman, again, to lust after her. Right. To commit adultery in your heart with her. You don't do that when God's righteousness has given you a pure heart. You're pure in heart. Oh no. And as a result of that, your marriage won't fall apart. I don't say every marriage comes to divorce through this, but most marriages do. Most marriages come to be destroyed through people lusting after others. It's not enough, this wife, I said, to God is all I need. Until death I will never part from it. No, you will find the result of God's righteousness in this wicked, corrupt world that's trying to destroy marriages. You won't. You won't have your marriage destroyed through what is the main cause. The main cause of most marriages being dissolved today is because a man wants another woman. you find that ability to keep your marriage intact. By God's righteousness imparted unto you, you find the ability by God's grace that all that's needed of you is to say yes and no. Your integrity demands such respect that no man expects you to swear and make oaths. No, you just have to say yes. Suddenly the world sees you as the salt of the earth and respects you to such a degree that all that's needed from your life, no man requires more than just yes or no. They know you're righteous. That's how righteous we must be, that the world doesn't expect any of us who name the name of Christ to ever swear or have an oath before we've believed. No, yes is good enough. That's how holy our lives will be. Men will accept it from us. Only our yes. And you find the ability, by God's grace, no matter what the Old Testament says, you find the ability to fulfill the law, that if someone strikes you, you're able to turn the other cheek. You're able to. Without struggling, to turn the other cheek. Why? To win him. And you will win him. I saw my daddy. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I saw my father. When a man, in offense to my father, because of my father's righteousness, this man just attacked him. And before I could get to try and help my daddy, my godly daddy, this man just, you couldn't believe what he was doing to my father. Before I could help him, my father had stemmed the whole room, though. He stood, and he looked at this man with no retaliation, with such love that I couldn't believe, nor could this man. And he turned the other cheek. Literally. Hit. Have you ever seen a sinner hitting a man? Because of a godly man's reaction, the sinner fell on his face, weeping. He wept. You win them when you have God's righteousness. There's no retaliation left in you. So that you can win them. We would win the world with God's righteousness. You find the ability to love your enemies, do you, sir? In case you think you're not in stepping stone desperation, need for God to bring back to you what will win the world. Do you love your enemies? Love your enemies. Bless them that, do you bless them that curse you? Do you bless them that curse you? Do you do good to them? What good? Show God now what good you have done to them that curse you. Christ said, do good to them that hate you. What good did you do? Only one reason, child. They don't deserve your good, but to win them. I expect of you. You're the salt of the earth. What will happen to the world? No one will come to you. No one will come to God through you unless you become back what the salt of the earth must be. You find that you don't do your religion for the eyes of men. Nothing. It's just for the eyes of God. Just for the eyes of God. You don't want your left hand to know what your right hand doeth. That's all that matters to God in religion. Do you know that? Do you know such a religion? That nothing is for anyone but God's sight. Nothing I do in religion is for, it's for God. It's for God. It's for God. I'm here tonight for God. I put this money in the box for God. God knows. God knows. Otherwise, if it isn't that, if it isn't that, there's no reward for you, God says. No reward. You find the ability to not let your left hand know what your right is. Nothing in you with this pure heart, this righteousness of God permeating through you by the Holy Ghost. Nothing in you that wants anybody's patting on the back or saying, oh, this is a good Christian. Nothing in you but for God. For God. In your prayer life, you don't love to pray in the prayer meeting. You don't. Love to. Do you know why? Doesn't mean you can't pray in the prayer meeting. You have no right to pray in the prayer meeting unless you're a prayer warrior with God. When you're a prayer warrior on your knees for souls, that's the first time that you agonize for souls alone with Jesus. You have the right to agonize for souls in a prayer meeting, but if you agonize for souls in a prayer meeting and not on your knees when nobody's laughing, you are a hypocrite, God says. Your prayers are a stench of hypocrisy, let alone think revival will come to them. What are you? Have no right to pray for revival in agony, sir, unless alone with Jesus that is pervading throbbing from your life to heaven when nobody's watching. It gives you the right for a little occasion when man is listening to also join in with them. What you have the right to say in public, you only have the right. Otherwise, you're a total hypocrite, God says. If you want throbbing with reality when only I see you, you can measure whether you're a hypocrite. Complete grief to God by your prayer life. Be careful. Don't be like the hypocrites who love only that. Thou, my child, shut the door. Show me you're real. Pray in secret. Let it be in secret. Let the throbbing, the most of your prayer life that ever comes, not be for men, but for God. That will give you the right to go to the prayer meeting so that you can get the others and two and three of you can agree. But because God sees you real in the quiet time, He knows He can answer your prayers. You're not a hypocrite. You're not a hypocrite. When you fast, no one knows. And if they do, God knows it, because there's nothing you can do about it. And God honors your prayers. God honors your prayers. God honors your prayers. So much so that you learn to fast more and more and more. Because you see, when you fast, God does everything you ask. Everything. Because you're asking from a mind of Christ. And you're earnest. And the more you see God accomplishing, the more you're willing to lay aside times of fasting. And you begin. How many of you don't fast because you don't even know what God will do? Because you don't do it just for Him. No one but God knows. But I'm doing this because I want to move the hand of God, and God's hand will move through me. You don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, by the way, when God's righteousness. That's going to cost you, isn't it, sir? To obey Christ. You set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth, from the moment God gives you a heart pure by blood and fills you with the Holy Ghost. Oh, when God has His righteousness through you, you set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. You lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. You cease to look at materialism. God doesn't expect you to live in poverty. No, don't believe that. But if you have affection that keeps your treasure on earth, that you could look upon, this is my treasure now, then you need to very much ask yourself, are you nothing but a grief to God? Don't do it! If you haven't got treasures in heaven, be careful that this doesn't become your treasure. Oh, be careful not to become materialistic. When you're right with God, you can't be materialistic. Your palace isn't on earth. Your palace is up there. Some people, they got so much stuff down here and so little up there, they're scared to leave earth. There's nothing waiting for me up there. I've made my palace here. I parted with nothing for my comforts. I made no sacrifices to the billions, not millions, who've never heard the gospel and truth, who haven't had Bibles put in their hands. I didn't dig deep that could have put how many Bibles out if I didn't do without this or I did without that. No. When you write with God, there's nothing, nothing, nothing that condemns you of what you've held onto materially. And God will make sure, by the way, God will make sure. You see, seek ye first the kingdom of God, He says. And His righteousness, that's very, very essential, to make sure you have God's righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know what God's saying here? It means you don't have to worry. You won't have everything you want, but you have everything you need. God says, I'll make sure of it, if you're righteous. Everything you want, everything you need to be happy. I won't give you more, child. It might take your heart from me. It might start making you a tear. But if you're right with me, what I give you, I guarantee you, never go wanting. Not the righteous, no. Or their children. And you'll be happy with what I give you. Happy. When you're righteous. And you don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth because of that righteousness. And you take no thought for tomorrow. That doesn't mean be an imbecile and don't be careful to make sure you've provided. No. But if there's any anxiety of thought for you tomorrow, anything that you now neglect God's heaven and God's walk, then it's not God that's going to provide for you in the crisis. It's you that's going to sink because you didn't look to God to do it. You don't judge others. Oh, I could go on. I could go on with the amazing things that God says. Let me stop right here. Let me ask you all. Listen to this verse carefully here. Carefully now. Ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus Christ says to the church in America. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? What am I going to do with you? It is thenceforth good for nothing. Good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. What words for God to say to a church? And I think this is the day and age that God says it to you in America. You are the world's seasoning, Church of Jesus Christ. You make it tolerable to live in. It's you that makes it, not the government. If you lose your effectiveness, your reality, your impact, what will happen to the world? What will happen to the world? You yourselves will be eventually thrown out by them. Your religion considered worthless. If you've lost your effectiveness, they're going to do that to you in America. Do you know that? What will happen to the world? If you lose your effectiveness, the only thing that can stop sin and make the world tolerable to live in, if you lose it, do you know what will happen? You won't be able to put the TV on without fear any time in the day of your children being utterly corrupted by something that suddenly will come up. There won't be censorship because there's no fear of those people who say they're pure. No. Those people don't stop this. You won't be able to go to a video shop to get a good, clean video you remember was made back in the 30s. You won't be able to get to it before you find you've defiled your children for eternity to what they've got to look at. Before you find you defiled the man at the filth and depravity. How can a child of God walk through that and stay pure in his conscience to his children? You won't be able to pick up a magazine without being scared for the children to look unless you censor through and tear pages out. And you ask God's protection in the blood because you might be defiled. You won't be able to buy anything at the bookstores without being scared to walk past the till to pay without your children seeing pornography. What we knew was pornography is now called art, by the way. I was in a book room and I just picked it all up and I put it on the table and I wept and I said, oh. And the manager came in no time. And I said, sir, for this, the judgment of God comes on South Africa. And you're selling it. Shame on you. Oh, how filthy things are. How filthy things are. Why? Oh, what will happen to the world? You, Church of Jesus Christ, if you've lost your effectiveness, your vital reality, your impact. How many people sitting here tonight who name the name of Jesus? You've lost your effectiveness. You've lost your impact, your vital reality. You're not the salt of the earth. And God says to you tonight through this sermon, to you and I who name the name of Christ in this world that's turning into corruption and sin and destructiveness through moral decadence. How many of us sitting here tonight, God says to you, take these steps, child. Before America is no more. Take these steps, child, as the Church of Christ, I want you to. If you're sitting there broken, you're sitting there broken, poor in spirit, mourning in your own heart for your own condition in the light of the sermon. Take the next step right now. Seek God for righteousness. Seek Him first. Get hungering now tonight before God. God, I need, before I leave this building, to seek Thee for something I've lost. The righteousness of God imparted into my life as I absolutely surrender to Thee, Lord, and look to the blood. I look to the blood to cleanse me through and through and through, that Thou might fill me with the Holy Spirit and take absolute control of me, God, that Thy righteousness that out of a pure heart, a heart made clean by blood tonight. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I desperately want Thee to, Lord. I'm not the salt of the earth. I'm not the light of the world. Men, don't see my good works and come to glorify Thee, Lord. God, I need to take these steps tonight in my mourning over my condition, mourning over the church's condition, over where America is heading. Where I see what is becoming of the world, I know it's me. It's a church, my God. I come to Thee for Thy righteousness. I'm hungering, I'm thirsting here tonight, God, for righteousness. Impart it. Impart Thy righteousness to my heart as I seek Thee by the blood and the Holy Ghost to make me righteous tonight, Lord. To make me the salt of the earth, spontaneously fulfilling the law that men see in every circumstance, the fulfillment of the law through the stony heart made fleshly in the law written tonight by the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Spirit fulfilling the law of Christ in my life. Oh God, I need desperately to seek Thee tonight as the church. I need desperately to seek Thee to make me holy, to make me holy and righteous and the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I want to ask everyone in this building who knows that Jesus Christ, through this sermon tonight, has confronted you as what you should be. And He's told you how. And that He will satisfy you. He won't turn away. He'll look at you if you're mourning. In this condition, I want those of you that come mourning to God and hungering for Him to make you righteous so that you can be the salt of the earth, as you look to the blood and the fullness of the Spirit with all your heart, I want those of you that desperately need God to do that for you here in America, child of God. I want you to stand, those who need to. And I want to pray for those who do. I want to pray for those who do. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads to God. Not with your lips, sir, please. You might just disturb the one who's praying with his heart next to you. God looketh not at the words that proceed out the mouth. He doesn't look at them. God looketh at the heart. From whence they come. He's looking at your heart, sir. Now, as God looks at your heart, say to Him as you hear these words, Lord, this is my prayer. Let Him hear that. He won't turn away His face from you. He cannot. Don't believe it of Him. He won't turn away His face from you. My God, I'm so ashamed where America's headed. I'm so ashamed that this land influences the whole world. There's not a nation, even Russia, Lord, that isn't somehow looked to this country and want to be like her. And I'm so very ashamed, God, that the world is not influenced at this moment to seek God as they look at America. They're rather seeking Satan through our music that sells millions to the youth all over the world, that turns them to become devilish. That's how far we stooped, Lord. Through our films, that is the greatest influence on this earth, to turn men to filth and depravity and children to a life of wicked, evil, corrupt decadence. Nothing has influenced earth as much as Hollywood. And there's no nation left that doesn't want Hollywood's films. In the heart. God, I look at this country of mine and I've criticized. I've criticized every step we've taken as a nation down
down to depravity. I've sat condemning from president to government to everything. But I haven't condemned me, Lord. And tonight I look and I become conscious, Lord, that this would never have happened in America if the church had been effective. We're here, Lord. We're there in our millions in America. But just how few there are, Lord, that are really, every step they take, the salt of the earth. If only we'd all turn back and be revived, Lord. If only Thou would give us the grace as the Church of Christ in America. And we all found God because we got desperate, because we began to mourn as we are tonight, Lord. If only Thou would do it through this country, Lord. And we all began to seek Thee for righteousness, for Thy righteousness imparted, not just imputed. It has been imputed. We are saved. But we've lost our effectiveness. We haven't got the impact, Lord. We've lost it. Our vital reality, if we have to be honest, is not there when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, God. Oh, God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive the church, Lord. That we failed God in not seeking Thee desperately for revival while we saw our country being destroyed by the devil. Lord, we tonight, as Thy people, stand before Thee ashamed. We can't answer to the rest of the church, but Lord, it can begin here tonight. Revive us, Lord. Send a true, genuine revival into every heart here tonight that's standing before God in brokenness, in mourning. God, tonight, as they hunger for the righteousness that they lack, help them to absolutely surrender to Thee. Help us, God, tonight, to absolutely surrender. We look to the blood. There's nothing that we can look to but the blood to forgive us, Lord. But we dare to believe without any doubt that if we all tonight look to the blood of Jesus, individuals, God will forgive every failure, every single inconsistency, everything we've lost. God, Thou will forgive us. We look to the blood we need to. Cleanse us in the blood, God. Wash us in the blood, God. But go deeper. We don't only want to be forgiven, we want Thee to go deep. Nothing can create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Nothing can create in me a clean heart but the blood. Let the blood go deeper, Lord, not just to forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I want to be pure in heart, God, that I may be blessed. I want Thy righteousness, God, to be made in me. Make me righteous. I long for it by the blood of Christ. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, God. Take complete control of me here tonight. I lay my life before God and I say I want to be the salt of the earth. From the next step I take, God, no matter what the cost, I know persecution will come. But I know they'll come to Thee then, because my life is condemning them. They won't be at ease in their sin. But Thou said I'm blessed if I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake. Great is my reward in heaven. My Lord, I'm willing to face it, that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution here in America. I'm willing for it, God, so long as America stops its sin through the church, and we're the only ones that will stop it. If we're willing for the cost, my God, make us righteous with Thy righteousness. Take us now, God, and fulfill the law in our lives, that we won't lust after women and commit adultery with them in our hearts and think that's acceptable, that we didn't do it really. Oh God, help us to fulfill the law as Christ has said we'd fill it on the pages of this book. When we have Thy righteousness, every step we take, make this world stagger from our children, our home, our enemies, our work, our neighbors, dear God, that the world will begin to stagger in our company. Not by our struggling to be it, but because it's just there. Because of tonight. Do it, Lord. And Father, in mercy, send a revival across America. What Thou couldst do here tonight in our hearts, do across our land. We pray for it. We have the right from this night to pray for it for others because we've allowed Thee to do it to us. But get us now desperate for revival for the whole of America, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I see you all standing. I'd like to tell you something here tonight. I feel I need to tell it to you. I have preached this sermon to many, 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 many thousands of people across the world who name the name of Jesus. And I've seen people falling down on their faces in some places where there's not a soul left at the end of this sermon that isn't on their faces. I haven't known what to do as they agonize before God because of their land and they realize it's them. And I have had multitudes. I thank God who said from that night, Mr. Daniel, I am real. I've been real. I believe with all my heart God is going to do that for you from this night. If you stood up with our sincerity before your God, you're going to shake this world. I'm desperate for revival. I battled to preach here tonight. I don't know why. I think my only excuse is I am tired. In my country, a man doesn't say he's tired. You're not allowed to. Otherwise, you're not a man. I admit tonight that I battled tonight. And I ask for forgiveness. But God helped me through. And that's all that matters. And I'm sure Satan didn't want this message to get to you. I'm convinced of that. Will you all pray for me, please, for this very weak man, that God will in mercy strengthen me, anoint me, unctionize me, and that tomorrow night I may have liberty. Such anointing by God because of your prayers. I need it desperately and I ask for it. Please, if you would show me mercy, please pray for me that tomorrow night God will visit us in the most remarkable way and I won't drag through a sermon. I'll just be able to pour my soul out because all of you are upholding me in prayers. God will answer your prayers, I guarantee you, if you all pray. You pray for that, please. Come tomorrow night. Don't stay away from the house of God Sunday morning. You come to the house of God, please. Sunday night. 3 messages left. Pray for me for those 3 messages because there's no preacher on earth that needs so much prayer as this poor man. And without prayer, I can be nothing but a failure. I'm so conscious of it. So I'm begging you, don't let me be a failure. And the only hope I have is that you pray for me. And God will hear you. Pray for tomorrow night that God comes and visits us in the most remarkable way through His Word. Don't stay away. It's Saturday night, the night of the devil. Wouldn't it be wonderful on the devil's night when all his houses are filled with all his people? They won't miss, don't you worry. They're so excited about what they get there. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the people of God are so excited what they get in God's house? God's house is full on the devil's night. I said that in the town, you know, when a man said to me, do you know it's the dance tomorrow night? You've come right in the annual dance of this town. And he said it of a German community. I wouldn't tell you where it was, but this Lutheran man said to me, you haven't got a hope. We should cancel the meeting. No one misses the dance. It's just there. You miss it and you're nothing. So I stood up and I did something nobody expected. I blushed at him. I told him, you don't go to the dance if you name the name of Christ. How could you? You've come to the house of God. And you know they cancelled the dance because nobody arrived. It's good to blast the people of God sometimes, isn't it? It's good to make a stand again. They want it. They're just waiting for someone to cry it out loud and clear again. Don't you know that, child of God? The world is waiting. They might start to persecute because they don't hear it, but let me tell you, they want it. They don't want their children to be defiled, but they don't know how to stop it. But they will if the church stands up and says, stop! By our lives, give us the right to do it. And the world will once again be influenced through America to seek God. To seek God, not the devil. Come, Church of Christ, pray for this man. Come tomorrow night. Drag others. The people of this church who perhaps missed, won't you phone them and blast them? They might come. Actually, I'd be very doubtful if they wouldn't come. But blast them in a way that they know you love them, okay? And tell them I was the one who told you to. Then they'll forgive you. Bring them. Make an effort to get everyone in this church. Yet we can, you know. We can fill the house of God. And then Sunday morning, Mr. our dear brother, Harold, asked me, wouldn't I preach a specific message? I preached up on the hill with the men. And so the first time he asked me to do that, of the message he heard me on tape, I did, and we found it was God. Now he's asked me to preach a different message to you on Sunday. He says, won't you please pray about it? Well, I said, it's a bit long. So I don't think I'm going to get away with it. Your minister is not only holy, but he's disciplined to time. And how he's suffered me to stand up to this point, knowing there are children out there being cared for by people who are wondering, when's that man going to stop preaching? I know you can hear me in there, so forgive me. Well, on Sunday, if I preach that message, it's going to, I'm praying about it tonight, I'm going to have to cut certain things out, so I don't have your minister pulling me down and saying, Mr. Daniel, please. But I do believe I should preach that message on Sunday, that he told me to. A message that has somehow shaken my land, and an amazing amount of the Church of Jesus Christ has sought God through this particular message that he's asked me to preach throughout South Africa in the most amazing way. And I, the first time I preached that message was to ministers, and you should have seen what God did. And I began to realize why God wants that message, so I can understand why this dear man wants it. But pray for me now. Pray for me that on Sunday somehow I'll be so quickened by God I'll get through it in half the time that I should or normally would. We're smiling now. We can. We sought God. I respect you. And I know revival is coming. Now you might say this man's going too far. I know revival is coming. Don't ask me how I know, but I know. I hope you're not going to be left behind. But judging by your response tonight, that's not possible. You're going to be there. Revived. And able to be the instruments of God for the rest of the land. Oh, now go. Walk with God, and you'll never ever lose this reality tonight one way. Through one thing, not 10 things, one thing. Never neglect your quiet time. Never neglect your quiet time. Never neglect the meeting with God in the morning. Never let anything be more guarded or loved than the quiet time. And I guarantee you, you'll never have to seek God again to revive you. You'll never lose ground if you never neglect, once you've met with Christ, the quiet. It's up to you. You want to walk with God now that it never lose ground? Meet with God as the greatest priority of your life every morning of life. May God bless you. Now you be here tomorrow. Don't one of you stay away. Isn't that something? Anyone going to stay away, you put up your hands and tell us exactly why. I'm not joking. I agree that people are all talking in the pulpits, but I do desperately want you to be here tomorrow night. If you never invite me back to America, I know why. I know I preached too long, and you didn't love the word. That's all I've got to give you, by the way. If you want me back, by God's grace, if God spares me and keeps me in the dust, that he can trust me, that I've never touched the glory. I have so much of this word that I want to bring to the church. I have so much that I can't bring in 3, 4, 5 days. Give me 2 weeks of it. I'd love to bring this book back to the church. You pray about that, and I'll know whether you reject me or I'm not being invited, sir. Will you please commit us to God, sir, and forgive me for the length I took tonight. I dragged through tonight, but I tell you, I was determined to get through. And I know why. I know that God honored his word tonight in spite of my battling. Thank you for seeking God. Go out there, and through your prayers and your life, let's see revival come to America now. Because I tell you something, for the first time, if this is a true indication of what's happening, for the first time God's going to start hearing you when you start crying desperately for the rest of America. You've given him the right now. You've got the right for God to answer your prayers for your nation now, because you are revived tonight by his Holy Ghost and his word.
Our gathering time tomorrow night will be 6 o'clock, not 7, so 6 o'clock. And I get the general idea that our dear brother would like for us to be here. And we shall, prayed up and ready to be fed, spoken to by the Spirit. And Father, we give you thanks tonight for the fact that when you commissioned us to live godly and righteously, you have also told us how, clearly, specifically. And so grant, Father, tonight physical rest, an emotional refilling for our brother. Thank you, Father, for ministering to him as he has ministered to us.
And so anointing his life, Father, you anoint us to be your instruments of revival in our land. In our Savior's name, amen.